Afternoons on SEN.
Seven NBA games are being played today, and there's a massive upset in the offing. If you don't want to know the scores, look away now. But I will tell you that the Boston Celtics are playing the Indiana Pacers, and Southeast Melbourne Phoenix fans would remember Kiefer Sykes, who played for the Phoenix. Well, he's got a contract extension to the end of the year and made the big emotional comment yesterday that it was all for his mum and how important it was considering the life that they had coming growing up. Well, at the moment, Kiefer Sykes has played 22 minutes, 11 points, and has had a couple of assists thrown in as well and some rebounds. So Kiefer Sykes doing some good things right there. I'll give you more NBA scores if you don't want to know those scores. Look away shortly. Let's go back to the calls. 1-300-736-736. Thanks to Kogan Mobile and Essendon BMW. All roads lead to Essendon BMW. Visit us today. Hello, Nick from Grange.
Hi, mate. Look, just that caller that talked about Liam Jones and I guess the fact that he didn't want to get vaccinated and it cost him his career. It's entirely up to the sporting governing body that looks after the code that it represents. So currently the ATP or the International Tennis Federation do not have a no jab, no play policy. Mm-hmm. So that's what's creating the loophole for, I guess, players such as the Renata Varakova, the one that came in, and Novak Djokovic, that they don't have to be vaccinated to play in a Grand Slam or a tennis tournament because the world governing body doesn't deem it as a necessity, right? So that's the issue. And if they were to change that policy, then I guess we wouldn't have had this situation that we had.
No,
and look,
right.
Ultimately, if Novak got, yeah.
But, Nick, how does he get into Australia? And I don't, mate, I'm over it, to be honest. I just want him to play or not play, but looks like he's going to play, and good luck to him. But how does he get into Australia and go straight to, for the best part, go straight to Melbourne and just act like nothing's happened?
Oh, I don't know, mate. Look, I'm over it as well. To be fair, like, I will flag my bias because I am of Serbian descent. I was born in Australia, but my family did come here from Serbia, so I'm putting the Serbian people's hat on when it comes to the outpouring of emotion and the generally peaceful, I guess, support and demonstrations up until, I guess, that pepper spray issue last night. The Serbian, I guess, Australian and Serbian descent believe there's a conspiracy theory that a lot of people believe that he's being targeted because, you know, for whatever reason that... Mm. More people in Australia love Federer and Nadal, and they'd rather watch those two, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a bit more objective, to be honest. I'm not anti-vax. I'm vaccinated. I think he should have got vaccinated, would have solved all these issues. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I don't think you can blame just him. I think you have to blame everybody because it's been an absolute disaster. And to be fair, I am concerned a little bit about the tournament and what the crowd reaction will be for pro Djokovic and anti Djokovic, which could potentially create a really uncomfortable environment.
Yep, I totally agree. And it's going to be, I agree. It could get very heated, and I hope not. And it does raise a good question. And thank you, Nick, and thank you for your patience to wait on over the news. Nick from Grange giving us a call. This is apples and oranges, I know. But if it was Roger Federer, would there be the same outcry? Let's just say all the things were laid, everything was laid down on the table. Every scenario was the same. The only difference being the name change. I know that's a very simplistic view, but let's just see if it was the simplistic view that it was Federer in place of Novak, would this outcry and would this hullabaloo be taking place? I hope it does. I hope it did and would, because Victorian government, federal government, border force, Tennis Australia, seriously, any chance of someone being on the same page?
No.
We're going to hear from, of course, let's go to Brett Phillips, who's going to join us right now. We've got us through to Brett. Thanks to Hume Tennis in Melbourne's north. It's the mini Melbourne Park, currently hosting two international wheelchair tournaments featuring Dylan Alcott. And the world's best wheelchair players come down and be inspired. Do you wake up having bad dreams about Novak Djokovic, Brett Phillips?
No, No, I don't. No, you threw me. It was a bit like Naomi when I interviewed her last year, threw her the first question.
It's exhausting, though, isn't it? It is. This whole thing is exhausting. And Nick had just made a call to us. His concern, and he's Serbian descent, his concern is the pro and the anti-Djokovic fans at the Open, and also a real big security presence every time he comes, and the carry-on that could go with what's taken place over the last 72 to a week.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Tim. I mean, I've just come down here today just to settle in, and I'm just looking out at, you know, the precinct here, and yeah, I think that is it definitely is a concern. And I mean, we still, you know, await the immigration minister and what might transpire there. In fact, I was just having a chat to a couple of media folk. There is a whisper that Djokovic could appear at Melbourne Park and possibly speak today, but it's a whisper at the moment. Whether that unfolds, we'll have to wait and see. It's still a bit, obviously, to play out. But no doubt, I think it would be a concern for the TA, because there are a lot of people, you know, angry that he'd be playing at the Australian Open. And yeah, how that looks. I mean, there's, I think last week, a little bit of vandalism on the perimeter of the precinct here. And, you know, will that extend to people getting into his matches who are going to disrupt play? Hard to forecast ahead, but it's going to be fascinating to watch.
How's the preparation going? You're down there at the moment. And, you know, is it a hive of activity leading into one of the majors of Australian sport and world sport, and in particular, a major of tennis?
Well, there's plenty of people behind the scenes. It's actually, it's great to come down and walk around the precinct without 50,000 people here. So it's a calm before the storm, that's for sure. And you can just wander around. The facilities have just got better and better every year. So credit to TA, the palace they've built here, Tim, the whole new media centre, which is brilliant. All the qualies are going on. It's a muggy day in Melbourne. So, you know, it's hard-fought qualifying going on. We're going to go out and watch Bernhard Tomic shortly, up against Roman Safulin, who was terrific at the ATP Cup for Russia last week. So that's a tough match for Bernie. So we'll see if he, he's going to walk the talk that he's been pumping himself up the last few weeks, that he's a new guy and a renewed energy for tennis and passion. We'll see if that translates to the tennis court, Tim, and I'll probably give you a feel of that within about 20 minutes of the match.
All righty. Now, in regards to polarising figures, and we've had Novak Tick, and now we've just mentioned Bernard Tick. What about Nick Kyrgios? He's a bit crook, and he's in doubt now, right? Serious doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be the timing is going to be pretty tight for him to play with the COVID revelation yesterday. Depending if it's a 7-day window, whether it allows him enough time, whether he feels like he's going to be right to go to play a slam. I mean, look, I'm sure he would love to play the Australian Open, but no leading matches. I mean, if there's a guy that could, you know, come out with no leading and sort of just win a couple of matches off his talent, it's Nick. He has put a training block in Canberra. I'm not sure how hard that training block was. But look, he's going to be a race against time. Yeah, no doubt. He doesn't look certainly cherry ripe, and you can't come into a major if you're a little underdone. These guys just spit you out pretty quickly.
The fallout from Max Purcell, you know, he could stand up in my porridge. I've never heard of the bloke, but he's been very bullish in regards to Leighton Hewitt, claiming the Davis Cup captain didn't have the balls to tell him he'd missed out on an Australian Open wildcard. That's pretty ugly. We don't really like to read that type of stuff.
No, look, Max is one of those guys, you ask him a question and he'll give you a very, very honest answer. And that's just the way he is. He's always been very candid. He is a different sort of cat. He's a great personality. We had him on the first serve last year, and that was really on the back of his best year. And he can probably feel a little bit hard done by, to be totally honest. But he hasn't always had a harmonious relationship with Leighton Hewitt, going back to the junior days. And these things sometimes become a little personal. They shouldn't. And look, the accusation is not the first time there's been accusations against Leighton for having so-called favourites. Now, he would probably deny that. But we don't often hear from Leighton explaining his way in the public forum. He's reluctant to do, you know, a lot of media. So, yeah, I think Max has certainly got a point ahead of probably an Alex Fault for mine, who I think has had ample opportunities with wild cards. He's about 3 or 4 years older than Max, but he is part of that sort of Hewitt, you know, Davis Cup set up, training squads, etc. So it seems, I mean, Wally Masura is the director of performance, Tim, but it seems that it comes down to Leighton
making the calls. And you know, not the first time this has sort of got into the public forum that maybe, you know, he's got a little too much power in these decisions.
BP, when is the draw proper done for the Australian Open?
Yep, Thursday. Yeah. Thursday evening, it'll be done.
Okay, so do we get a vibe in regard? Do we get a vibe on sort of sides of draws and seedings now? I mean, have you got the seedings as they stand right now in both the men and women's side of the draw?
Hasn't come out just yet. The seedings, it'll come out, I'd say probably today or tomorrow, and then the draw. Yeah, so we don't quite know yet because, look, there's probably still a few more adjustments, certainly to the main draw. If a couple more players, you know, do pull out, then it elevates a couple of players up the pecking order. So it's pretty much settled who the main draw will be, and obviously the qualifiers will take their spots. The wild cards are being all announced. So, yeah, we're getting closer to knowing who the matchups will be, and to give us a better idea to forecast how the 2 weeks is going to play out.
Yeah. And mate, you are across everything tennis, and you have travelled the world and covering all the majors and all the, and you're across everything, and you are a font of knowledge. Which, you know, if I need to know something about tennis, you're the go-to man. And I say this in the nicest possible way, BP, as a friend of yours. You sound exhausted before it's even started. Is that because of the uncertainty of the competition? And you know, have you ever been involved in the media side of things with something so frenetic and chaotic in regards to a lead-up to a tournament?
Yeah, look, it's unique. I've just come off a week of the ATP Cup that was pretty full-on, Tim, so I'm actually trying to hide a bit this week and get myself ready for two big weeks. But to have this Djokovic layer on top is something I haven't certainly seen before. And the numerous requests to talk about it, and a lot of it, you know, is sort of over your head, really. The finer detail of it all, so you're trying to even just wrap your own head around it. But look, tennis is it's a pretty consuming sort of sport. It's it is the one sport where there's no definitive timeline to your days, unlike every other sport that has a clock and you finish and you go home. Tennis is the total opposite of that. So no, we'll be cherry ripe, ready to go for next Monday.
Yeah, you're a good man. I know you'll find a way. I'm going to read you this. This has just popped up online on the Herald Sun.
Yep.
An article written by Emily Benamar and Ashley Argoon. Australian border officials are investigating whether Novak Djokovic provided false evidence on his entry form for Australia in an enormous development ahead of the Australian Open. Australian border officials are investigating when Novak lied on his entry form in Australia. It is the latest twist in his application saga and his visa saga.
Well, this is what I mean. I mean, this story just keeps adding another layer upon layer upon layer. So it's so hard to forecast what the end conclusion is going to be. Yeah. A bit more to play out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Good on you, BP. Appreciate it. We'll leave you there, mate. Thank you for taking our call. I know you're incredibly busy and hope you do get some time to freshen up. There's Brett Phillips talking all things tennis thanks to Yarra Tennis Coaching and Eaglemont Tennis Club with junior and adult programs available. Check out yarratennis.com.au. I read further to this article that has just appeared on my screen, courtesy of the Herald Sun. And giving false evidence or misleading information to an Australian government is a serious offence, and if convicted, the maximum penalty is imprisonment for 12 months. Novak Djokovic departed Spain, bound for Australia January 4th, the stopover in Dubai, according to his sworn affidavit. This would mean Djokovic would have been in Spain from 11:30 on December 22, Australian Eastern Daylight Time, which be 1:30 on December 22 Spanish time, to comply with the rules not to travel within 2 weeks of arriving in Australia. Social media posts show Novak was pictured in Belgrade, Serbia on December 25, playing tennis in the street and posing with a handball star, Petar Georgic. The red flag in the dramatic story. So there it is right now. Wow. So the Herald Sun is reporting that did Novak Djokovic and his dates not fall in line with the correct visa application when arriving in Australia? Just when we thought. Wow. 0433 98-11, 16 temper, a mattress like no other. I'm exhausted reading about Novak, but if that's true, and the border Australian government have found that Novak has been wrongly filling in the information because of the photos and pictures of where he was and how he was, this has got another game, set and match written all over it. This is Afternoons. Tim Gossage with you. Let us know. 1300 736 736. We're here for Kogan Mobile and Essendon BMW. Visit us today.